For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Again, I would like to welcome each and every one of you to grace this night. And I would like to say, once again, Merry Christmas. With all the love and goodness in my heart, I welcome each and every one of you to this very special service on this special night. We are joined, and this is staggering to think about, with well over 2 billion people, more than one quarter of the world's population, who tonight and tomorrow will attend Christmas services. But you've chosen to celebrate the Lord's birth at a church named Grace, a small parish on the corner of Lang and Hardy Streets. Ironically, words that mean flame and heart. We are at the corner of a flaming heart, our parish named Grace. Well, I often tell people God knew I would need a church named Grace as a constant and daily reminder to receive grace, and I think more importantly, to learn how to give it away. Perhaps that is what has beckoned you here this night, the longing, the need for grace. And knowing that in this holy and sacred space, on the most holy and sacred nights, grace can indeed be received. It's no accident that you're here. If any words might resonate this night, please be assured of these. You are loved, and you are never alone. And you are loved, and you are never alone because of a God who is made incarnate this night. And of all nights, no, because of what has happened so long ago, we are invited to receive his grace, and more importantly, to give it away. We've gathered inside a manger tonight. If you don't believe me, just look up. It is the safest, warmest, most contented place one could be on a night like tonight. Our manger, Grace Episcopal, is ready to welcome Jesus with joy. He's who we've been longing for. He is our expected Emmanuel. Well, the gospel that I just read is from the Gospel of Luke. It is the version of the narrative of the birth of Jesus that I grew up reading every Christmas Eve down at my grandparents' house. It is the most familiar, at least to me, and the most endearing. The story of a king being born is told to the lowliest, the most despised members of society. Does anybody know who they were? The shepherds, yes. The worst of the worst. That's why they spent their days in the fields. They stunk. They stole. They weren't always good. They were away from everyone and everything. They weren't liked, much less they weren't wanted by anyone. They were what is known as an outcast. And yet, in God's mystery and wisdom, it is them, the dreaded, the worst, the lowliest, the shepherds, who are chosen as the ones the angel reveals that the Savior of the world has been born. The news wasn't given to the governor, Quirinius or Caesar Augustus, but to a group of unnamed shepherds watching sheep in a very dark field. If you can imagine, it's a quiet, it's cold. The stars are out. You can see the breath of the restless sheep if you look hard enough. And then in an instant, the voice from heaven sounds. And when the angel comes, the shepherds are scared out of their minds. They are terrified. This has to be simultaneously the most frightening and the most wonderful moment of their lives. And in true angelic fashion, the angels say, what? Do not be afraid. Words of comfort for them, even for us this night. Do not be afraid. What strikes me particularly about this rendering of the shepherd's take is that on this holy night, these shepherds are greeted by a whole host of angels. It is said there's not just one. An entire multitude of heavenly beings serenade, shine brightly, reassuring these lowly men not to be afraid. All the while delivering the greatest news ever told, the message of Christmas, good news, not bad news, it's joy. It's great joy for everyone, everywhere, forever and ever. This is a Christmas story. And it is our shepherds who lead the way. Yes, they are afraid, but they obey. They don't question. They don't scheme. They don't dismiss. Their response says something. Something inside of them was deeply moved. They weren't content to just hear this news and say, oh, isn't that nice? Those are nice words from heaven. No. They get busy and they travel. They go to Bethlehem and they discover for themselves the news that the Lord has made known to them. They knew that they were given news that was so profoundly special, and they knew it was from God. They had to go. Perhaps you felt like that in your life as well. I know I have. So moved that you just have to go. Well, for me, I think that's why I resonate with the shepherd so much in this story, because I love the heart-led immediacy of how these shepherds respond. They just didn't receive the voice of heaven as a personal spiritual epiphany. There's a sense of momentum and intentionality. Their eyes are set. Their vision of Jesus was simply too good to keep to themselves, so they hurried to spread the word to anyone who would listen. Sounds a lot like Mary at the tomb, doesn't it? And when they arrived, what did they find? They found a new mother, Mary, keeping watch over her baby in the manger. And Joseph was by her side. And the shepherds, like little kids waking up on Christmas morning, they eagerly recounted the message that was told to them by the heavenly host. They knew a Savior had been born, and they were going to find Jesus. So what is so beautiful about what the gospel writer Luke has done is by tasking the shepherds with delivering this news. Luke is saying that the way the world has always been will no longer be. God doesn't come as everyone expects, full of might and power. Instead, he comes in the form of a baby. A very vulnerable baby who can't even talk, who can't protect himself, who wails and cries, who needs care and love. And he doesn't come to the high and mighty. Instead, he's found amongst the lowly. In the most unlikely place, to the most unlikely people, to cows and camels and shepherds. What I find when I read Holy Scripture, throughout the narrative of God, he comes in ways that surprises us, working in ways that we least expect, calling the structures and ways of the day into question, and ultimately declares a new beginning altogether. Well, you have been led by the Spirit of God to a place called grace on the holiest night of the holiest time of the year. And if you are looking for a new beginning, this is the Christmas message. Just like the shepherds, you too have heeded the message and have come to discover the greatest gift that was ever given to the world. One in which love and joy are the stars of the show. God didn't make himself incarnate in Jesus to make things better or more bearable. Through Jesus, God came to turn everything upside down and inside out, to resurrect and redeem, to make beauty from ashes, to rebuild what's broken. Man. And that which seems irreparable, oh man, God sees it as repairable. He comes to surprise and reverse and to make right all that is wrong. The gift of God's own self in Jesus is the revelation that God will provide more than we can ask or imagine for the working out of God's reconciliation with us, humanity. Essentially, what that means is to save us from all manners from which we need saving, even the ways we don't think we need saving. And even when we don't think we need it. Well, thanks be to God that tonight we celebrate a mother cradling her perfect gift in her arms. We celebrate shepherds, those whom the world despised and overlooked, but who were brave enough to heed and believe the call of God and his amazing miracle. Tonight we celebrate a mother and father who gave thanks for what they had and offered their lives to this mystery, trusting in its power to do more for them than they could ever ask or imagine. We have patiently waited, and he is finally here among us and with us this night. I hope you're ready to celebrate, because we are given a Savior this night. He is ours, and we are his. And as fellow pilgrim and poet Mary Oliver reminds us, good news, great joy, this is the daily invitation of God to me and to you. Good news and great joy. And she says this, if you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give in to it. Don't be afraid of its plenty. Joy is not made to be a crumb. Well, may the joy of Christmas be yours this beautiful and holy night. Christmas isn't a crumb. It's abundant, life-giving. and yours for the taking. Receive with joy, dear ones. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Amen.